Man, I'm excited to be here with you guys tonight. I'm usually over at the youth building, but man, it is a joy and it's an honor to be able to speak from this platform. And man, if you're as excited to listen as I am to preach, tonight's going to be a good night. So can we get friendly with our neighbor tonight? Come on, this is church. It's more than a building. It's the people. Can you turn to your neighbor and just say, hey, neighbor, say tonight is going to be a good night. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to start in verse 21. I'm going to read out of the NIV. And I want you to know tonight, there's someone I listen to frequently, and I just love what he says. Every time he talks about something that is going to challenge someone, he says, my name is John, and I am your friend. Tonight, I would like to say that my name is Zach, and I am your friend. But I believe that every time the truth of God is preached, it's challenging. It challenges us to not stay where we're at. It challenges us to come higher, to a higher standard. Do you believe that? So I believe tonight we're just going to be challenged to go to a higher standard in our walk with Christ. Amen? Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 21, it says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, only Jesus can say that, by the way. He said, woman, you have great faith. Everybody say great faith. Great faith, your request is granted. And her daughter was healed 3 months. Wait, no, I'm tripping, y'all. Her daughter was healed 3 days. No, you might have to help me tonight. Her daughter was healed at that moment. It's almost as if what she said in verse 27 activated the miracle that took place in verse 28. Amen? Man, I'm excited to preach to you on a few minutes, about 3 hours, okay? So hold on, I'm just kidding. I've got 30 minutes, but I want to talk to you guys on this subject. Get over it. Get over it. Remember, my name is Zach and I am your friend, all right? Title of my message is Get Over It. When I first came to Rhema Youth, I immediately started having hard conversations with some students and with some of our leaders because I wanted to challenge them to come higher. And anytime I challenge someone to come higher, it involves telling them the truth. Everybody say the truth. The truth is what sets us free, amen? The truth is what helps us grow. The truth is what helps us be successful. And I realize that not a lot of people like to hear the truth. It's confrontational. And so I realized really quick that I had to place something within the culture of Rhema Youth. And it was a vow that we made. And that vow is that we vow to connect before we correct. But confrontation is not bad. It's an opportunity for growth. So I want you to say this with me. Say, confrontation is an opportunity for growth. We're going to grow tonight. Amen. And I realize that in many conversations that I have had and many ministers have had and many leaders have had with people in the congregation, people at their jobs, that when they have a hard conversation and it's confrontational and they tell them the truth to help them grow, that many people cannot receive this transformational truth because there's this one thing that gets in the way. And that one thing is the one thing I really want to focus on tonight. It's the one thing I want to challenge you. It's the one thing that I believe that is keeping people from growing. I believe it's the one thing that's keeping people from experiencing transformational truth in their life and growth in their life. And that one thing tonight is offense. It's offense and being offended. I believe that we are living in the age and in the era of offense. To me, I believe there's a lot of people that are offended. A lot of people are upset about something. It's almost as if victimhood has gone viral, y'all. It is all over the place. People are mad and frustrated and offended. And it's no longer viewed as a weakness in character or as bad character, but rather a constitutional right, that I have a right to be offended, right? Oh, and you're not offended, then I'll be offended for you, right? Because it's just, we have a right. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to have a platform because they think what they believe and what they see is the most valuable perspective. It's the absolute truth. And one thing that's super sad about deception, that word means that you with 100% faith believe that you're right. Right. And you're wrong. That's a hard reality. But so many people are offended. I mean, men are offended. Women are offended. Millennials are offended. Baby boomers are offended. Democrats are offended. Republicans are offended. Atheists are offended. The saints are offended. I was even reading an article the other day that vegans were very offended. Now, if you're a vegan, I have nothing against you at all, but I just want to read this article that I thought was pretty funny. They said that vegans are calling for a removal of meat-based metaphors. They think that it's offensive to say, bring home the bacon. They would rather we change it to something less offensive like, bring home the broccoli, right? I'm not kidding. This is a real article. And then the animal rights activist has jumped on the same board, and they think that some of our commonly used phrases like you're beating a dead horse or you can kill two birds with one stone is offensive. And they would rather change it to something less offensive like you're feeding a fed horse or you can feed two birds with one scone. Listen, it is so silly. It's so silly to us, but yet it's so serious to them. I think it's so serious that I even heard in that article that many of them were taking speakers outside of steakhouses and playing the sounds of slaughtered cows outside of steakhouses. True, I can only tell you what I would do, but I'm not going to go there because we're talking about not being someone who causes offense, right? But I think it's interesting because the things that we find silly, they find serious. But the things that they think are silly, we find serious. Every single one of us have a perspective. Every single one of us have that one area in our life that if someone brings up, it's going to mess with us. Let me say it like this. Everyone has that button that if someone presses on the wrong day when you forgot to pray, it will offend you. It gets to you. And, you know, I remember back when, before everyone was gathered around TVs playing Xbox and PS4. We actually all gathered around the table and we played a game called Operation. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Operation was this game in which you had this character and he had these holes in him with these, it was like a metal surrounding around it, and all his body parts, his bones, his organs were on the inside of us, and you had these metal tweezers. And if you were going inside to remove something from him and you touched the metal and that metal touched that, it would go and his nose would go like this. And every time I think of people being offended, I see that red nose on that game, and I think, you know what, that's you, that's me. Listen, there's just that one area that if they just touch it just right, our nose just starts going off, right? So let me just ask you this question is, have you ever been offended? Every single one of us should raise our hand. We have all been offended. And if you say you've never been offended, we will have an altar call tonight for lying. Because every single one of us is in some way, shape, or form, in some time of our life, somebody has offended you. My scripture is in Matthew chapter 15, but in a few chapters over in Matthew 24, Jesus is having a conversation with the disciples. And they said, Jesus, when is the sign of the end of the age? When is a sign of your return? And Jesus said to them in verse 4, it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nation for my name's sake. And when we read this, we can get so caught up in all the earthquakes and the pestilences and all the wars and rumors of wars that we will miss this subtle but impacting truth here in verse 10. And it says, and then many will be offended. They will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So a sign of the end of the age and the return of Jesus Christ, it says that right here, that many will be offended. And actually, when you look at that, the verses before that, you can only say that wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation and tribulation and people offering you up to kill you can only stem from one place, and that is people who are offended. Because if you will recognize in the Bible that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but of principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, it is not that we face people, it's that we face a spirit that is behind people. And that spirit is the devil. And the devil has to use people the same way that God uses people. And let me tell you, church, the number one way that the devil will use you to do his work is through offense. When you are offended, Jesus is having another conversation with his disciples in Luke chapter 17. And it says this, he said to his disciples, it is impossible. Now, anytime the God of the impossible says that something is impossible, my ears go up. He says, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. So what he's saying right here is that it is inevitable. It is impossible, okay? I should say that no offenses should come, which means it's not a matter of if offenses are gonna come, it's just a matter of when they are gonna come, because offenses come to us all. But it doesn't say that it is impossible that no one be offended. Now, offended and offense are two different things. Offense is an event. Offended is a choice. Let me say it like this. Offense says, you did this. Offended says, and I'll never forgive it. This scripture tells us that offense is inevitable. But offended, now that's optional. So let me give you a truth tonight, church. A truth that you can set on your track. A goal that you can have in your life when it comes to walking and talking and looking like Jesus. The truth is this, that according to the scripture then, it is possible and plausible to live your life completely unoffended. It is possible and plausible through the power of the Holy Spirit for you to live unoffended. Offenses may come, but you have a choice, a decision to allow that offense, that event, to turn into a lifetime of unforgiveness and bitterness. You have a choice. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have a choice. So my question is this. Now, I know this word is not in the dictionary, so please don't hold me to it, but you'll understand what I mean. What is your current level of offendability? How easy is it for you to get offended? I remember, you know, I love to talk to God just about visions and dreams and man, and I dream really big and I have big visions and big ideas and stuff. And the Lord told me one time, he said, Zach, you'll never accomplish big things, big dreams, big ideas, big visions, as long as it keeps taking the smallest things to offend you. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The purpose of the vine or the church, you, is to produce great fruit that the world may see Jesus. And sometimes we don't produce that fruit because these little foxes are spoiling it. And that little fox, it's just one of out of many foxes that come into our vineyard. One of those foxes tonight is offense. And it tries to keep us from living out our dream. And I want you to write this down if you can. The level of your offendability is an indicator of your level of spiritual maturity. Let me say it like this. If you're easily offended, you're spiritually immature. If it's hard for you to get offended, spiritually mature. So what God will often do is put a breakthrough on the other side of our offense. So you will be faced with a decision on whether or not you're going to stay small where you're at, or you're going to grow up and get over it. We have a choice. We can stay small where we're at. We can let the little foxes, we can let the little petty things that people say and people do towards us, we can let those little things keep us small and live small lives and small dreams, or we can grow up spiritually, we can get over these small things, and we can start accomplishing God's big dreams and God's big purposes for our lives. Amen? Amen. And so in this passage of scripture, I never would have thought in this scripture that it's Jesus that's offering the offense. Now, that might sound weird, but I will show it to you in this context of scripture, because here's the thing is, you have to understand that Jesus can be offensive. Because the Bible does say he is the way, and the life. The truth demands change. And a lot of people want to stay where they're at. A lot of people like it where it's comfortable, where it's warm. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will come along. Jesus, right? The truth of God will come along and challenge you. Oh, and we don't like that. We don't like that. And it offends you. And there's this level of offense that takes place. There's actually four levels of offense that takes place in this passage that I want to unfold for you tonight. But first, I want to look at this. First of all, it mentions that she's a Canaanite woman. Everybody say a Canaanite. Canaanites and Israelites have had years of offense. Years of battling each other. Years of saying things against each other. And so what blows my mind is that already there is offense laid within the heritage of Canaanites and Israelites. And not only that, but this woman is also living in a misogynic society where women are not respected, where women do not have a voice. So what makes a woman step into a room where there is a Jew to look past, number one, who she is, but also to look past the pettiness and all the years of offense between these two people? And I'll tell you what it was. It was that she was desperate. She was desperate. I always say this, that desperation is the doorway that breakthrough walks through. How desperate are you for change? How desperate are you for Jesus? How desperate are you for revival? Because I'm telling you, when you get so tired of living in a mundane world where everybody is mad and everybody's upset and everybody's always griping, and you get desperate enough to see revival, to see people love one another and pray for each other, it will cause you to look past the pettiness and the small things that are keeping it from taking place. But we gotta grow up, church. We gotta spiritually mature. We gotta get over it. We gotta get over it. And I'll tell you what made her desperate. The devil was messing with her daughter. And I'm telling you what, nothing makes you more mad than when the devil's messing with your kids. Am I right? Man, when your kid starts getting sick, you know what? No way. I'll hold my kid. I'll pray in the spirit and I will break that. That enemy is not allowed in my kids' life. It's not allowed in my youth group. It's not allowed to affect these teenagers. It's not allowed to affect the next generation. Come on. I just get desperate. And so therefore, I hold a very high standard in this youth ministry simply because I am desperate to see revival in their life. So I challenge, and I'm going to challenge you the same way I challenge my youth. Come on, if the youth can handle it, surely we can handle it tonight. Amen? But watch this. She breaks in, she gets to Jesus, and watch this. It says that she gets to Jesus, she asks for help, and it says that Jesus ignored her. Jesus, it says in verse 23, Jesus didn't answer her a word. This is the first level of offense that I'd like to talk to you about tonight, and that is the offense of being ignored. Have any of you ever been ignored? Come on, we've all been ignored sometimes. I'm a person that when I'm texting people, I'm one of those people, I get right back to you. It's who I am. And plus I'm also part of my weakness. I am a little OCD and I just hate notifications on my phone. All right. So I have to just keep it clear. Right. But there's nothing worse than when you text somebody, your heart, you just text something, you know, that was important to you. And then it says that they read it. That's awful. And then they don't text you back. Totally ignored, totally like you had no meaning in their life. And many of us have faces, and in my life, I would rather just straight up be rejected than I would be ignored. Because if you reject me, great, you know, I know where you stand with me, right? I can get over that real quick. But to ignore me? I mean, you think about people in the Bible who are ignored. Think about David. He wasn't even invited to the get together of where they were going to anoint the new king. Talked about being looked over. I know that there's people in this room have felt looked over, who have felt ignored. And one of these areas when it comes to Jesus specifically is how about when some of us pray and you feel like God didn't answer? And instead of looking inward at maybe what's wrong on my end, I've watched so many people come and get offended at God and say, God, this is your fault. Let me tell you right now, it is never God's fault. God is faithful. He is true. The Bible says that he is faithful to complete the work that he began in you until the day Jesus Christ returns. And the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to me in Christ Jesus. My God is always paving my path. My God is always working out a way for my life. A matter of fact, it says he takes all that the enemy meant for evil and he turns it for my good to bring himself glory. Come on, can I get an amen tonight? God is always working on my half. So it's never his fault. But yet I watch many people who allow offense in that Jesus did not hear me, nor did he answer me. He's ignoring me. And they might say, oh, you know, I'm not offended. But actually their actions say otherwise, because their actions is they just stop praying. But I want to show you something that this Canaanite woman did. It says that she kept asking. She didn't quit. Let me say it like this. Here's a point. Stay persistent. When you feel like you're being ignored, let me tell you, church, stay persistent. When you feel like you've prayed and there wasn't an answer, it's not God's fault. Just stay persistent. Keep on praying. Man, I have seen people in my life pray for 5 years for one healing, and they kept every day praying the same prayer for 5 years, and 5 years down the road, they received their healing. There's something about being persistent. There's something about just keep on keeping on, right? Just being faithful to little. Because here's the thing, is that God sometimes just wants to see if whether or not we are coming to him for the healing or we're coming him as the healer. Are we worshiping him or are we worshiping for what we want from him? And sometimes it's through the hardship that we really get to know him. And guys, let me tell you, above all else, he wants to get to know you. Are you guys hearing me tonight? So she stayed persistent. Matthew 15:23, and then it says this. His disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.
Did you say that again?
Us.
Sorry.
This is interesting to me, because when at all in this passage of scripture was she talking to you, the disciples? And I've noticed that there are some people who spend a lot of time with Jesus, so much time with Jesus that they actually start believing they are Jesus, and people start coming to them, right? Like they have the answer. Let me tell you right now, me, Pastor Hagen, Dean Tad, Pastor Bill, we are not Jesus, okay? We are just human beings like you. And we don't have the answer. Only Jesus has the answer. And so let me tell you that sometimes you just got to go to Jesus for your answer. But here's the thing is they actually categorize themselves with Jesus. And what happens is that when many Christians categorize themselves with Jesus and they start looking down at people like they are Jesus, then what happens is they begin to look down at people in a way where they'll start hurting people. And watch this. This is the second level of offense. It's the offense of the institution, the church. Maybe Jesus didn't offend you, but maybe you were offended by someone who bared his name. I've seen so many people, I didn't like what so-and-so said from that platform. I'm offended at what they said. I don't agree with that at all. And what's crazy is they will allow that little offense to disrupt the transformational truth that was in the rest of the message because they cannot get over this one little area of the message. And what's super sad is that many people will leave the church that God called them to. And if God called you to it, he ain't going to call you away from it because of an offense. He's going to keep, the only way God's going to call you away from somewhere is if you've passed your test and you've been faithful and he needs you somewhere else. But until then, it doesn't matter what offenses come your way because it says that it's impossible that no offenses are come. They're going to come because we all have different perspectives, but you should never allow a tiny offense to dismiss you from the God's perfect will for your life. And yet many people leave the church. And I just want to tell you, this is what the Canaanite woman did. She stayed planted. First, she stayed persistent. Second, she stayed planted. And if you've been offended in any way, maybe not just by a speaker or a leader of the church, but maybe just someone in the church that you thought there was a Christian. Listen, I understand. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I saw people say that they were Christian up front on their knees, crying, worshiping God, but yet turn against my own parents and my own family and say some of the most horrible things. I know what it's like. And this is why I'm so big on teaching our kids how to not just say one thing and live a different way, but to actually live what you preach. It's so important because everybody's watching and everybody sees that. And so there's always two sides to the story, but stay planted. And I promise you, listen, if you stay planted, God will speak to you. And she stayed planted. But I don't know if what she liked what Jesus said next. Let's look at this. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. This is the offense of insignificance." Have you ever felt insignificant? Have you ever felt like you didn't belong? I'm telling you, many of us face this in our life. Some people will make us feel unimportant, and more so, the devil will use situations where you didn't get invited, or maybe someone got prayed for and you didn't, right? Or someone got blessed in something you've been praying for 5 years. Isn't that the worst sometimes? You've been praying and believing God for like 5 years for something, and someone's been praying for 5 minutes and they got it. You're like, Jesus, do you even see me down here? I've been praying this for 5 years. You know, and sometimes you just can feel not just overlooked or ignored, but sometimes you just feel insignificant. And the devil will use situations like that to place you into victimhood. To live life through a lens that the world owes me something. That it's my constitutional right to be heard. I have a platform. I have Facebook, right? I can say anything that I believe is right. And this is the place where the devil is using so many people to bring so much darkness. But church, can I just say this to you? You can never win by fighting darkness with darkness. You can only fight darkness with light. Martin Luther King Jr. said it better than anybody else. He goes, you have to fight darkness with light. You are not going to change the world by acting like the world. You're not going to make any difference. And actually, let me just tell you this. Your prayer life and your prayer closet will make more of an effect on changing the world than it will you opening up your mouth on social media. We have to learn that we have a power, church. We have the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is empowering us to live unoffended, to love like no one has ever loved, to lay down our life like nobody has ever laid down their life before. And through this power of the Holy Spirit, people will look at me and they will hear me and they say, man, he walks like Jesus. He talks like Jesus. And there's something so significantly different about this person. I'm drawn to them. People don't always like what's different. They will reject it. But if you stay consistent, they will grow to respect what's different. If you live with confidence. But check this out. Offenses are lenses. I heard this one time. There's always two sides to the story. You always hear that? I've learned this really quick in ministry. Because through the lens of one person, they'll come up to me and they'll go, man, I'm the victim and they're the villain. So then I'll go and talk to the other person and they're like, I'm the victim and they're the villain. They saw it two completely different ways because offenses are lenses. But so how many know that we all have different prescription? We all see things differently. If I was to take Dean Tad's glasses and let's say I had glasses and I swapped with Dean Tad and I actually saw from his point of view, I would put his on. First of all, I'd go, whoa, because he's probably got an entirely different prescription. But you know what I would do? I would put it on and I would go, it's a no wonder you saw it like that. It's a no wonder you thought I meant that when I said that. And sometimes if we would just see from a different perspective, it would help us overcome from being offended. Some of the things you're offended about, you could really get over it with just having a conversation. And asking questions rather than loading your gun, right? You know, with your spouse, they say something about you. Oh, I'm offended. You're ready to just shoot right back at them with something that is even just as more hurtful. But remember, you can't fight darkness with darkness. You should just ask, hey, why do you see that? And then maybe if there's some truth to what they're saying, own it. Say, you know, you're right. It would save and help with half the world's problems. And the lens of this woman was, watch this, the lens of insignificance. But really, through Jesus' lens, it was a lens of precedence. Let me say it like this. Okay, if you were in a hospital and you broke your ankle and you're sitting in the corner and they came out and give you a bag of ice and they said, we'll be with you shortly, right? And we all know that in a hospital, that shortly is not shortly. It's like an hour, right? But then all of a sudden, a gunshot wound victim comes rolling through the door, right? And all of a sudden, everybody drops what they're doing. As a matter of fact, they had you by the arm and they're getting you back. And all of a sudden, they're like, sir, they shove you back down the seat. We got to attend to this. And so many people will be like, oh man, they don't care about me. This hospital is an awful hospital, right? And then some people will do that. Man, I should have got prayed for, man. They should have talked to me because I'm going through this issue. But maybe, just maybe, that some of the people that you're needing an answer from, they're dealing with a situation that is a lot more taking precedence. And this is what it was. Jesus, it was all about precedence. Because the children of Israel, when he said that, they were the gunshot wound victim. And this woman was just a broken ankle. Lenses, offenses are lenses. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that on. Offenses are lenses. But she saw, so listen, 3 points so far. She stayed persistent, she stayed planted, and she saw from perspective. And if I could have a worship team come, if I could have someone come and just play the keys, doesn't have to be the whole worship team. You know you are on the edge of your breakthrough when it gets the hardest sometimes. And a lot of people quit. And let's just be honest, many of us in this room would have quit at this point. I've been ignored. The church has insulted me. I feel insignificant. I'm done. I'm offended. I'm going to go find another church. I'm going to go find somebody else. But you know what's crazy? Her response was, she got down on her knees. And she started to worship him. And this was such a powerful moment because instead of getting angry and bitter and mad, it says that she got down and she started worshiping. And it was at this point I recognized this, that she was probably worshiping him as the healer instead of just worshiping him for the healing. And I thought at this moment, listening to this or reading this, that I was like, this is where the breakthrough is going to come through, right here, when she worships. But Jesus takes it another level. He says this, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." And this is the fourth offense. It's the offense of being insulted. Have you ever been insulted? Someone said something about you that questioned your character, and man, it just lit a fire inside of you, made you so upset, made you so mad because it's not really who you are, but the fact that they saw it that way, it just really hurts that they see you that way. We've all been insulted. But when you study this, I think it's so interesting because this woman does something. Here's my last one. She stayed positive. She stayed persistent. She stayed planted. She saw from a different perspective. And lastly, it is that she stayed positive. Because there's two different words in the Bible that are used to describe dog. And many times the word dog is used in one form that means a wild dog, meaning an outsider, which means that you weren't in covenant. And she was a Canaanite, so this would apply to her. But when you actually study, theologians, scholars will actually defend Jesus in saying that the word that he used actually was a word meant pet dog. Pet dog. And some of you are like, which one doesn't matter? She still got called a dog. You're right, she did. Either way you look at it, she still got called a dog. But here's what's amazing. Instead of having a glass half empty attitude, and she had a glass half full and she stayed positive, she didn't walk away. Maybe she started to at a moment. But then inside of her, she said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That word is used for pet dog. I'm a Canaanite. I am an outsider. He could have called me a wild dog. A wild dog has no master. A wild dog has no home. But a pet dog has a master. A pet dog has a home. And any dog, right, that has an owner, and any person that has a home and has an owner gets to partake in everything that the master gets to partake in. So let me say it like this. If the master's having steak, then the pet dog is having steak. If the master is having lobster, then the pet dog gets lobster. And I'm telling you, she changed her perspective. She was positive and she said, wait a minute, you can call me a cat, a goat, a cow, a dog, I don't care, but I just know right now that I have a home, that I have a master, and my master's name is Jesus, and he has a heavenly father that has all power to heal my daughter, and so I'm not going to allow this tiny little offense to get in the way from me getting my daughter's healing, my daughter's deliverance. And sometimes we just got to get desperate. Some of us got to get over the pettiness, the little offenses, so that way God can do something in and through our life that we never thought imaginable. It's the small things, church. It's the little foxes. But I'm telling you, you know what she did? She went through four levels of offense. So many of us wouldn't have done that. And you know what she did? She grew up. She got over it. She said, a matter of fact, these are not stumbling stones. These are stepping blocks for me to take. So every time someone comes at me, I'm going to use it to go higher. I love what Joel Osteen said one time. He said that an eagle has the ability to fly at 30,000 feet. No other bird can do that. But yet these hawks and crows will fly around and pester the eagle. And though the eagle has all the strength and all the power to destroy these other birds and to obliterate them altogether, it says the eagle chooses not to fight. Rather, he just flies higher. So let me tell you, church, don't go to the same level as the world. When they come after you, don't let the small offenses disrupt the miracles that God is trying to produce in your life. Because here's what's so amazing about this story is it says that as soon as this happened, and she said this to Jesus, he said, "Woman, great is your faith. Let me tell you, it takes faith not to get offended. It takes faith to love people. It takes faith to love your enemies, to do good to those who despitefully use you, and pray for those who misuse you. It takes faith to do it. And it was that faith that she had. It says that she was healed at that moment. And I believe that there's some people in here, you've been praying for God for a miracle in your family. You've been praying for a God and a miracle in your own personal life. And he's just waiting for you to grow up, get over it, and let it go. And I believe that as some of you let it go, that bitterness, that hurt, that unforgiveness, the thing you've been asking God to do in your life, I believe it could happen just like that. So here's what we're going to do. I want us to, everyone, to close our eyes, bow our heads tonight in this place. And I'm going to ask that our prayer team comes up right now. Women on this side and men on this side. And church, I want us to do something actively tonight. We all need to grow. We all need to be made into the image of Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. The Bible says, "Search me, O God, and find the things and point out the things within me that offend you." And sometimes we fail to recognize that there are some things in our own life that offend Jesus. And so every eye closed, every head bowed, if at all, in any way, shape, or form, at any time in your life, someone has done something to you, said something about you, a situation happened to you, and you would say that, you know what, I might be dealing with some bitterness, I might be dealing with some unforgiveness, I might be dealing with some offense in my life, I might have been being offended. I want you to recognize that right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray here in just a moment. And I believe by the power of God, whatever stronghold or chain that has had in your life, I believe that's going to break in the mighty name of Jesus. And what I want you to do tonight, if you're bold and if you're brave and if you're just downright desperate enough to see change in your life and through your life, I want you to come down front. I want you to come to these guys on the left if you're a guy, girls to come to the girls on the right. And I just want you to share with them maybe that hurt and maybe that pain and just get it out. Stop holding on to it. It's time to fly higher, church. It's time to be different than the world. It's time to stand out. It's time to turn on the light and stop fighting darkness with darkness. And so, Heavenly Father, right now I pray, every person under the sound of my voice, if at anywhere in their heart there is a dark place, there's a bitterness, there's an unforgiveness, there's an offense, right now, we just uproot it by the mighty name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over their heart and over their mind. Oh, I just thank you that they're letting go. They are letting go completely of all hurt and all pain of anything anyone ever said or did about them. And Father, tonight, as they release it, as they let it go, God, I thank you for healing power to come and flow through their body. And the answers they've been longing for, Father God, will come in and be answered. And Lord, the purposes you have in their life will begin to move in forward motion, God. Lord, I thank you for it right now. And Father, I thank you that we will not allow ourselves to get offended again. But Father God, we will grow. We will grow so that way we do not allow those small things in our life to disrupt your purposes. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen and amen. Hey, I want to encourage you. If you found what that was, I want you to come talk to one of these guys. Just get it out. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. And brothers and sisters, unforgiveness and bitterness is a sin. And not a lot of people. It's a small one, but it makes big effects. And so I want us to talk to someone, have them pray with you. These guys are prayer warriors. They're going to pray with you and maybe give you a plan to help you not get back down into it. Right? We don't want those things to sink back down in. Amen? Amen. Man, I love you guys. I'm so thankful that you guys were here tonight. I just hope that this challenges you to live a life more like Jesus, that we can change our world by not being dark, but rather turning on the light in our life. Amen? Amen. You guys have a great night. We'll see you this coming Wednesday for our midweek service, Hour Power.